We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe Across, as we get set to undertake today. A lot to get to. And I don't even know where to start. We can start with yesterday's game where Craig Counsell said that Matt Garza didn't pitch that bad. 2 2/3 is not good. There's nothing good about that. I give credit to Craig Counsell for trying to defend his guy. But, and yeah, there's times you can get out of an inning and such, but good pitchers get out of innings. You know, it's excuses for a guy that just has not thrown the ball very well his last 5 out of 6 outings. So it just, here's take a listen, because Craig Counsell, after the ball game yesterday, talking about Matt Garza, had this to say.
They got some jam shots, some balls off the end. The ball that they got 2 runs on. It's just a double play we couldn't turn. So it's, I don't think he, I thought he pitched okay. I really did.
No, he didn't. I would just beg to differ. I mean, this is where we can, say we agree to disagree, because he didn't pitch very well. He hasn't been able to get out of situations. Yeah, jam shots happen. That's fine. Every now and then you're going to have one, fly off the handle and flare into left field or flare into right field or just get over an infielder's head. I get it. But he gets behind in the count, loads the bases, things happen. I mean, that's on him. I don't know why they keep making excuses for this guy. Everybody said you can't start him. You look at his numbers in the first couple of innings of ball games, not bad. From the third inning on, his numbers are terrible lately. Use him as a reliever. He can get you an inning, but it's not good, and I don't know why they keep making excuses for this guy. You know what? Run him out there. And then when you lose the division by 3 games, we'll say those 3 games you ran Matt Garza out there, then that's when you lost your division. Thank you very much. I'm not pounding on Matt Garza just because I don't like the guy. That's not it. It's just he's not good. And I don't know why they keep running him out there. If you run him out there, you get what you deserve. Period. And that's when I'll just, if you're going to run him out there again, I'm going to go ahead and stamp my Dunn Club card now, because it's not going to help you.
He just had some bad luck, in my opinion. I don't think Matt, had too many pitches where he could say, man, I wish I would have had that pitch back, or I didn't execute that pitch.
Well, no, pitches were okay, but you got to work ahead and count consistently. When teams are batting well above 250 against you consistently, it is what it is. You know what? Make excuses for him all you want. We'll agree to disagree. He's just not that good. He's not that good, and when he gets into trouble lately, he doesn't have the capability to get out of it. And that's what good pitchers do, and he doesn't. He was good for you beginning of the season. I was the one praising Matt Garza, so it's not like people are saying, well, quit coming down on Matt Garza. No, I was the one that praised him. And I've always said on this program, if you do things well, we're going to praise you for it. If you do things terribly, we're going to call you out. Not good right now. Not good.
Well, if Craig Counsell says that Matt Garza was okay, then why didn't he leave him in longer?
Sure. If he's that good and he's just getting a few jam shots here and there, then you should have gone more than 2 2/3.
Right. If it wasn't his fault, if crazy things were happening, then Matt Garza, he could have pitched 4 or 5 innings.
Sure.
Because it wasn't his fault. He's too
loyal.
But you
pulled him, yeah.
He's too loyal to Garza. That's just bottom line what it is.
Yep. Completely agree. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Are we seeing something that maybe the rest of you aren't? Put it this way. Matt Garza, should he start again, yes or no? That's it. That's a question. Matt Garza, should he start again for the Milwaukee Brewers, yes or no?
Super pitch, great.
Your thoughts right now. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648.
You know, I thought he pitched okay. I really did.
Our buddy Uncle T. Sizzle says that's the equivalent of Skip Bayless saying Johnny Manziel is a Hall of Fame quarterback.
He just had some bad luck.
Just give me a shout. I'm just waiting. Brewers fans, just quick. 855-830-8648. We say, hey, what's your take? Go ahead, and then we'll put you on the air. Matt Garza, should he pitch again for the Milwaukee Brewers, yes or no?
I haven't seen a single Brewer fan on social media defend Matt Garza in the last 24 hours. Not a one.
I'm looking for it.
Brewer fans are sick of it.
I'm looking for it. Is there somebody out there that thinks Matt Garza is good? Because certainly they think he's good there. He's the team leader. Leaders walk the walk, by the way. They don't just talk it. They don't call meetings. They actually go out and perform. When your team needs you the most, you go out and perform. So should he start again? Quinn says no with a bunch of exclamation points. Paulie says no, not even out of the bullpen. Legend says there's no way in hell. Tim writes in the Wendy's email inbox, he says, anybody that's defending Matt Garza at this point has to be smoking something. And then he goes on from there with a profanity-laced tirade that I can't really read on the air. I just want to know, am I missing something? Because this is where I understand the credibility factor inside that clubhouse for Craig Counsell. I get it. You can't go out and rip your guys. I appreciate the fact that he doesn't. But to say that, no, he didn't pitch that bad, I think that makes the outward appearance, at least on my behalf, like I said, I agree to disagree. I think it makes you look crazy.
Matt Garza did address the media yesterday.
Well, thank God for that.
I have audio right here. I have not heard this yet. You want to hear this right now?
Let's do it. Okay. Eric, Fred, Nick, and Terry, stay right there. Okay? Stay right there. We'll get you. I promise. Hang right there. Want to hear what Matt Garza said after the game.
I don't know what to say, man. I threw the ball a lot better, I felt, and a lot better than results dictated, but it's baseball. It is what it is. Man, you know? I felt great. My stuff was fine. Just found a lot of holes. And there's no reason to hang our heads about this. We just, you know, they hit the ball better than we did and pitched the ball better than we did. That's it. So we just, you know, take the off day, regroup, and get right back at it.
That's it.
That's it. Now, let me say this. I appreciate the fact that he went to he spoke.
Yes.
I give him credit for that.
Absolutely.
Because the last time he didn't, I crucified him for it, and rightfully so. This time, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I'm glad he came out and spoke. That's, to me, maybe learning from past ills, if you will. Okay. I'm going to go through some numbers here for Garza. In his last, since August 8th, he went 3 1/3, 5 1/3, 4 1/3, 5 innings, 3 1/3, and 2 2/3. That's been his starts. The one game in which he went 5 1/3, he got the win in that ball game. Gave up 5 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them earned, 1 long ball, hit a batter, 5 walks, 2 strikeouts. His walks and strikeouts have been almost dead even, by the way. But the numbers just, they don't lie. You know, you can talk about cheap shots and they're just finding the hole and, okay, but that's what batters do. Teams hit, think of this, in the month of August, teams hit .313 against him. .313 with a whip of 1.96. And don't forget, he went 5 2/3 against St. Louis, in which he only gave up a run. 4 hits and a run. That was on August 3rd. So you take that into consideration, and then you look, by the time it was all said and done, that was a really good outing. By the time it was all said and done, teams were hitting 313 with a 196 whip. Come on. This is not a fluke thing. Now let's go back to the phone calls. Eric in Milwaukee. Eric, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. So should he start again for the Milwaukee Brewers, yes or no?
Absolutely not. I understand what Craig Counsell's saying. If this was a one-time thing and they were finding the hole once in one game where they were just getting shots, then completely understand that. But the fact that it's been consistently poor, I've been betting on baseball for a while, and every time I see Matt Garza pitching, I immediately go with the other team. I mean, the fact that me, as a Brewers fan, have no confidence in him to bet on them for the past month, 2 months, it shows that he has just been so inconsistent that you can't put him on the mound anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to go along with that. Appreciate the phone call. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's on loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Should Matt Garza be pitching for the Milwaukee Brewers? Let's go to Fred, listening to us in Green Bay on WNFL. Fred, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Fine, thank you, Bill. My vote is against Dealer to the team to take him out of the rotation. I do think Council should go with a four-man rotation the balance of the season. Those guys are only pitching six innings at the most anyway. Why can't you go with a four-man rotation?
Well, you do have some decent young arms you're trying to get a look at, and some of these guys have actually pitched pretty well. But I agree. I just can't run him back out there again.
Guys, 1954, Lopez won a three-man rotation the last 2 weeks to hold off the Yankees.
Well, they actually, remember, they burned up C.C. Sabathia late in the season when they brought C.C. over for that brief period of time.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Bill. How many players besides Braun have played only one position this year? I think that's really hurt the team defensively, the way he moves guys around. You're either an infielder or an outfielder. How in the heck can you play a second baseman in center field?
Well, you're trying to figure things out, I guess. I'm not a big fan. I appreciate the phone call, Fred. I get exactly what you're saying. I'm not a big fan of making an infielder an outfielder, unless exactly Hernan Perez can play pretty much all over. He's a utility guy. VR, they were trying, because VR was starting to hit, Neil Walker came up, you know, you had that position solidified, you were still struggling in the center field position because it's been all or nothing with Keon Broxton, and you haven't found any consistency there, so you're trying to keep a hot bat, so to speak, in the lineup. So, and he wasn't terrible. VR's not terrible out there. The guy can track some fly balls, he's got some decent wheels, and has a strong arm, by the way. I mean, even that ball that he took off the fence in Cincinnati, he threw on a line. Getting it back into the cutoff man. It was a strike because I wanted to see what kind of an arm he would have, and he threw it on a line. I mean, give him a lot of credit for that. But when you're moving guys around constantly, that means you're constantly searching for something. There's not a consistent lineup. There's not consistent. And look, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. When you're young enough and you're just trying to play ball, you don't care where you play. Once you're established, you kind of care where you play because there's a routine that you set yourself up on. Right now, you're throwing darts at a dartboard in a rebuild. And oh, by the way, along the way, you're actually in a pennant race because you're ahead of schedule. So eventually things will settle down. But right now, I think what they're trying to do is it's kind of the shotgun approach where you just blast the target and then see what pellets hit. That's where they're at right now. Let's go to Nick listening to us in Sheboygan. Nick, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hi, thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing well today. Should they or should they not be playing Matt Garza?
Definitely should not be playing Matt Garza. And my issue is actually also in relation to Craig Counsell's post-game comments, is, as you guys were saying, he just won't address this problem that Matt Garza has not been pitching well. And I feel like that's kind of been the story all year with Counsell, is he fails to address, or at least just to admit that there is somewhat of a problem, whether it be, you know, with other things or with Garza in general. And he just, I mean, to some extent, he's just always saying what, you know, people want to hear. But in this case, people don't even want to hear that. And it's just,
I thought he pitched okay. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, he appreciated the phone call. Yeah, he didn't really pitch okay. When we come back, Terry's in Tosa, Joe's in Pewaukee, and the Cash of Thousands on hold. Stick around. We got more of The Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to Border, The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Some jam shots, some balls off the end. You know, the ball that they got two runs on, you know, with the you know, it's just a double play we couldn't turn. So it's, I don't think he, you know, I thought he pitched okay. I really did.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. In the last six starts for Matt Garza, he is 1-4, and he's averaging four innings a start. Just thought I'd throw it out there.
You know, I thought he pitched okay. I really did.
Nope. Six hits, five runs, all earned. A couple of walks, a couple of strikeouts. No, he really didn't. We'll agree to disagree. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648.
He just had some bad luck, in my opinion. I don't think Matt, you know, had too many pitches where you could say, man, I wish I would have had that pitch back or I didn't execute that pitch.
Nah, that was just bad. That was bad. Not good. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. On the loansbykip.com, toll-free talk line. Can I give you a number here, Joe? I'm going to do the Aproyo stat of the day right now.
All right, let's hear it.
The Aproyo stat of the day is this.
Let's hear it.
Okay? So we've got this correct, okay? In the last six games for Matt Garza, he is 1-4, has one no decision, and he has pitched a total of 24 innings, averaging four innings per start, given up eight long balls. He's given up 27 earned runs, which gives you an ERA of 10.13. 10.13. Just thought I'd throw it out there. 10.13. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. That's not good. It's just not good.
Look, in Craig Counsell's defense, I'll say this. When Willy Peralta was pitching as bad as he was and all the second chances he was getting, Craig Counsell finally had to make a stand and say, enough is enough with Willy. Got to move on from Willy. And finally, the Milwaukee Brewers designated him for assignment, kicked him off the 40-man, and that was it. I think the biggest difference, though, is Willy Peralta was not the leader in the clubhouse. Matt Garza is. And in Craig Counsell's eyes, he looks at that as tremendous value. Because the thing is, you can't just cut Matt Garza. You can't just cut the leader of the team. How does the rest of the clubhouse react to that? That's the problem. If Matt Garza wasn't the leader, if Matt Garza really wasn't an asset, if Matt Garza was just all about himself and didn't care about anyone else, then yeah, you cut bait with him now. But because he has provided some kind of spark to the clubhouse, because he's called a team meeting, that he is the voice of reason in there, and the younger guys look up to him, it's hard just to get rid of him.
Here's the other thing. For the sabermetrics people and for Barry, who said, yeah, but what's his whip? Let's go by whip. That tells a truer story. I think we can all agree anything over 1.5 is probably getting up there.
That's a lot.
His is 2.29.
Well, yeah, it seems like every inning there's at least runners on first and second.
2.29.
Bases loaded.
So I don't want to hear about sabermetrics either, because that sucks. That's a terrible number.
I don't know if there's any stat that you can look at right now. And some of these sabermetrics people, they want to dig deep. If they got nothing better to do, dig deep and try to find a good stat about Matt Garza to say, well, maybe he should start again. I don't think there's another good stat about him right now.
For as good of a season as he had up until August, because he did, he had a good season going. So I'm not, and like I said, I praised him. I went out of my way to say, hey, Matt Garza was one of your best pitchers. And I know they're trying to recapture that, but clearly his tank is empty.
But we've seen over the last couple of years now, Bill, we have seen more of the bad than we have the good with Matt Garza.
Right.
And we've talked about this numerous times on this show of whether or not Matt Garza should still be a part of this rotation, whether or not Matt Garza is good enough. We have constantly sat here and said, we don't know what kind of Matt Garza is going to come out here.
Right.
Enough is enough for me, and it's been enough is enough for a while. He's not helping you right now. And it's not like the Brewers are desperate. It's not like Matt Garza is the only option they have to put in that rotation. They have other options. If they want to, you know what? If you want to trot out Taylor Williams and give him a crack, no team has a book on him. I would rather trot out Taylor Williams and see what he has over Matt Garza at this point. Maybe you get lucky and he goes five or six innings and gives up a couple of runs. I mean, you've already taken the chance with someone like Brandon Woodruff, and it's paid off early on. Or you put back in Brent Suter like you should have yesterday. Despite the fact that he's only been on a couple days rest, but he only pitched three innings in his start on Sunday. I would have trotted Brent Suter back out there and just said, see if he can go four innings. Give me four innings. Matt Garza couldn't even get through the third. The Brewers have options. It's not like they don't. If they were desperate and they had no other options, Bill, then it is what it is. But they had options.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a mistake from the start. You had just lost the first two games to the worst team in the National League Central. And now you want to trot out Matt Garza in game three. There's got to be a better option.
Yeah, you can't do this anymore. And you can't. And again, going back to your point, which is a very valid point, and going back to Craig Counsell's argument of he didn't really pitch that bad. They just got a couple of shots against him. Well, if that's the case, then why'd you pull him?
Right.
Then why'd you pull him and burn up a bullpen?
Right.
You know, if he's not pitching that bad, then leave him in.
Yeah.
But you knew it. We all knew it. We could all see it. Proof is in the pudding. Let's go back to the phone calls. Who's been on hold the longest here? Let's go to Terry in Tosa. Terry, welcome to the program. Should Matt Garza be in the lineup?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, I'm a huge Brewer fan, and I watch every pitch. I've gone about 18 games this year, and no, Garza should not be playing, but he's not the only person that CC is loyal to. He's loyal to a lot of guys. Like, why is VR playing center field that day? He dropped a fly ball. He misplayed another fly ball. He cost Davies, I thought he cost Davies that record about scoreless innings on the road, but now they're saying that he got the record. I don't know how that happened because they scored that run there. But then yesterday he's got Walker at first base. Walker's not a first baseman. He stretched too early. That ball was a little bit high. Should have caught it. But because he stretched so early, he couldn't get his glove up high enough. He's not a first baseman. It's a time of year where CeCe's got to pick who are his best eight guys, and he's got to be playing them. And that's how you win down the stretch. That's how you win tenants.
I appreciate the phone call. We talked about playing guys consistently. And again, you didn't expect to be here. Okay, so in Craig Counsell's defense, I'm going to say I don't mind shuffling guys in and out and putting them in the best situations to be successful. I know it's not the ideal situation, but you weren't supposed to be here. This is, as I described before, the buckshot approach. You know what Ryan Braun is. You know what some of these veterans are. But beyond that, you're trying to figure out which young guy is going to actually excel because they played well and then they played poorly. Then they played well, then they played poorly. You saw what Santana went through last year with injury. This year he's come out and he set the world on fire. He's played extremely well. You know VR played extremely well last year, put pressure on himself to play well this year with turning down the contract, and he just crumbled under the pressure. Now he's finally starting to relax a little bit. He's been playing better baseball. Arcia has played good baseball this year. He's really started to emerge. But you're still trying to kind of figure things out. That's the reason you had to go make deals. Because you know you're in a pennant race, and it doesn't come along every day. So you had to kind of figure things out. You can't just let your team founder. But in addition, you also still have a responsibility to try to cultivate the young talent so you can continue to move forward. Because this is not where you want to be right now. You want to be the team that everybody else is chasing in the division and ultimately being talked about in the same realms of teams that can win World Series. That's where your goal is. It's not just to get to the postseason. Because this team's not going deeper even if they get the postseason.
Oh, no way.
But the chase is nice. You'd like to be able to say and pound your chest and say, hey, in a year in which the Cubs won the World Series, the year after, the Brewers, in a rebuild, ended up beating them out for the division. I think that's where ultimately Brewers fans are right now. So I understand what Craig Counsell's doing. But to me, when we keep talking about leadership and call-in meetings and this and that, but how can you be a leader when you can't walk the walk? You know, I mean...
Well, we have to remember...
And then outwardly, let's be honest, okay? It's kind of like when people make fun of Ted Thompson or Mike McCarthy. I think people give Craig Counsell a little bit of a pass because he's the native, he's from here, he's won some World Series, he's that grinder. Everybody likes Craig Counsell. I like Craig Counsell. in this particular case, I'm going to agree to disagree. He didn't pitch well, and he hasn't pitched well for a while now. And if we're going to base it off of sabermetrics or whatever numbers it is you want to use, all the numbers stack up to it hasn't been good in the last five or six outings.
Well, and I'm also going to defend Craig Counsell in this sense. Let's all keep in mind, he's been managing this baseball club for a couple of years now. When he was hired, did he have any managerial experience beforehand? A lot of people thought he was going to be in the front office. So this guy is learning on the fly. Now, could you make the argument that maybe in a couple of years, Craig Counsell is not the manager of this team anymore, that they find someone else, someone like Joe Maddon, the way the Cubs did it? That could very well happen. I'd like to think Craig Counsell is learning some valuable lessons here. He is going through some serious growing pains right now. And as much as he wants to be loyal to a lot of these guys, he may go into the offseason and think, you know what? I can't be this loyal. I can't do it because it costs us baseball games. That's what he's going to think. He'll never tell that to anyone. But you know he is going to evaluate himself and say, okay, what should I be doing better as a manager? It's pretty simple. I mean, again, he doesn't have any coaching experience. So he is really learning this, and it is pretty hard to constantly go through a lot of players who are all on pretty much similar value and on similar levels, and you're constantly shuffling the lineup because you're trying to figure out what's the best way you can win every single day. I haven't agreed with a lot of the lineups. I know Counsell is trying his best to figure out what would be the best way to win, but I think you have to stick with the hot hand. That's always been my logic when it comes to offense and how much it struggles, Bill. Sometimes I've had issues with the way Craig Counsell will pull a guy after he's had a couple of good games, and then you bench him, and then you don't see him again unless it's a pinch hitting. Again, Jesus Aguilar is one of the biggest examples of that, and I wish I'd see him in the lineup a little bit more because you need the offense right now. You've said you're a home run hitting team, so a guy like Jesus Aguilar should be in your lineup because that's what he does. So, Counsell's learning from this. I would like to think next year he should be a slightly better manager because of it.
855-830-8648. We're going to get back to the phone calls. Joe, Ken, Tyler, and KJ. Hey, I want to remind you, FanDuel is back. Fantasy football fans, you've been waiting for it, and it's finally, the wait is over. Because fantasy football is back. Fantasy football for everyday fans right now. New contests start each and every week. And you don't have to sit down with a bunch of friends and pick a team and worry about injuries and all that kind of. No. Just go to FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com. 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 And you can sign up right now with the promo code UNIT when you click on the Join Now button. That's FanDuel.com. Click on the promo code or use the promo code UNIT, void where prohibited. But don't forget, all you have to do is go there each week. You can go there in the morning and then play again in the afternoon. You can do one game versus other games. It doesn't matter. It's very, very easy. It's a great way to follow along. And I'm getting ready to do it myself, as a matter of fact, for the game coming up tonight. So all you have to do is go to FanDuel.com because, remember, over 2.5 million people have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, and just for you listening to this program, click on the Join Now button and use the promo code UNIT, and they will reward you for doing so. That is FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com. We're going to be talking to Joe, Ken, Tyler, KJ, all next on the Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
I'll just say, man, I threw the ball a lot better, I felt, and a lot better than results dictated, but it's baseball. It is what it is. You know? I felt great. My stuff was fine. Just found a lot of holes. And there's no reason to hang our heads about this. We just, you know, they hit the ball better than we did and pitched the ball better than we did. That's it. So we just, you know, take the off day, regroup, and get right back at it.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad to have you. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs. Don't forget, even though we're talking baseball, Cousin Subs, they want to put you in the best seats in the house at Lambeau Field. That's where they want to put you. And you can't do it without Cousin Subs. You have to go to Packers.com. That's Packers.com/best seats. And you could be sitting in the best seats in the house. Plush leather recliners, 50-yard line, all that kind of good stuff. And there with a couple of friends. All compliments of Cousin Subs. Again, go to for the best seats in the house contest. All you have to do is simply go to Packers.com, /best seats, all the rules, regulations, registration, all right there. And I highly recommend, before you do it, that I would get one of those pepperoni melts. Get the Bill Michaels. Go tailgate a little bit before you take those plush leather recliner seat tickets into Lambeau Field. That way you're full, you're feeling good, you go in, you see the Packers play. What a fantastic day it is. It's all brought to you by Cousin Subs, the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Let's get back to the phone calls. You hear from Matt Garza. And again, I not to sit here and just bash on Matt Garza, because I really don't.
Well,
it's not bashing. Here's the numbers. I mean, the numbers are what they are. And when you're looking at a WHIP over the last six games of 2.29, that's terrible. When you're looking at an ERA of 10.13 over the last six games, that's terrible. When you can't seemingly get out of the fourth inning in most of these games, you're averaging four innings per game. That's terrible. You're burning up a bullpen. You're not helping your team at all. And then to come out and say, well, I threw the ball really well, and for Craig Counsell to say, well, he just, you know, just a few things here and there. Well, if that's the case, then why'd you pull him with 2 2/3 innings? Why'd you burn up a bullpen doing so? You know, I mean, granted, they have an off day today and they have a night game tomorrow. I get it. But, you know, if it wasn't that bad, then just leave him in.
Yep.
But you knew it and we all knew it. It just wasn't working. And they had a very short leash, and that's the reason you pulled him right away.
And I'm not going to put all the blame on Garza for that loss yesterday. The offense continues to suck.
No, the offense isn't good. For as much as you want to talk about Matt Garza, the offense isn't good. That I will completely agree with. 855-830-8648. Let's get back to the phone call. It's been a whole long time. Let's go to Joe listening to us in Pewaukee. Joe, welcome to the program, man. How you doing?
Hi, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think the Brewers should stick with Matt Garza. This is a veteran pitcher. He's been around. He's seen it all. He's shown in the past he's capable of giving you a great game. I think what he needs more than anything else at this point is for the Brewers to give him a three-run lead once in a while. I don't think they've done that much.
No, they haven't. I agree with that.
Now, Zach Davies and Jimmy Nelson, I think in the first couple months of the season, they were having a rocky time, and Council stuck with them, and they pitched their way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, this reminds me a little bit of Mason Crosby.
But here's the thing. Wait a minute. But the other thing is Matt Garza has a history of this. He's done this year after year after year. For the last 3 years, he has not been good, specifically down the stretch. So I don't know if you can say he's just going to pitch his way out of it.
Well, he's streaky. You know, he's like Broxton. He may get into a good streak. This reminds me of Mason Crosby a couple of years ago when he would, you know, he couldn't kick the football. McCarthy stuck with him. And eventually he came out of it. I think a veteran pitcher like this, I think you need down the stretch. He has value here. He may surprise everybody.
Well, if they continue to use him, you cross your fingers, you say a novena, and you go to church and hoping that he gets out of the fourth inning and ends up not giving up five or six or seven runs and putting his team in a deficit. But I agree with you in the sense that this team has not given him a dramatic amount of run support specifically as of late.
Yeah, what if he had Zach Davies run support early in the season? What would he be, you know?
Right.
He needs some runs.
Well,
early
but
in the game.
I agree with that. Yeah. But I'm saying he's. But even if he's not getting run support, he's giving up a lot of runs. I mean, his walks to strikeouts ratio is terrible. His earned runs, he's given up 27 runs. He's only pitched 24 innings.
They've all had bad games. Jimmy Nelson had a bad game. So did Zach Davies.
Yeah, but he's now stacked five out of his last six has been bad games.
Well, he may have bottomed out here. That can't get much worse.
Oh, this is true. You hope so. Appreciate the phone call.
All right, thanks.
Well, I thought in his last start, that was his worst. And it actually...
Well, that was 3 1/3, giving up four hits and runs.
He got into the fourth inning
but
in
only,
that game.
But only three innings, or three earned runs in that game. But still, it was a 3 1/3 innings. It was a bad game. But yesterday, you know, yeah, there was a couple of errors and such. But all the runs that he gave up were earned runs. It wasn't like he had, you know, give up five runs, but only one of them was earned.
Right.
It was five earned runs yesterday in 2 2/3. That's not good. I don't care who you are. Let's go to Ken listening to us in West Bend. Ken, how you doing? What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? That was points by both you and Joe in terms of Garza as well as Council. Council, I truly believe in like what Joe was saying. You know, he never had any experience. I think there's a huge disconnect from the standpoint that he doesn't even realize the ability of his players. And I say that only because he's cost his team a number of games this year with his ineffective ability to know those players and to manage them properly. Just changing the lineup stuff constantly, in any team sport, as you know, you've got to have chemistry and continuity. Eight guys need to know where they're going every day, and you've got eight legitimate starters to fill in those positions spots on there, including, I truly believe, a guy that can lead off now in Neil Walker. And so why keep sticking with VR is beyond me. This is a scenario. That last gentleman could have made that argument back when the Brewers had Renicki as the manager and lost the lead, having a 15-game lead, and they wouldn't give Garza any support back then. But not now. And as far as him being a leader in the clubhouse, that's all well and good, but you can't be a leader if you can't even do your job.
That's my point exactly. If you can't walk the walk, you can't be considered one of their biggest leaders.
I agree. And I still think they could pull this off? Yes, they got 7 games against the Cubs. They're 4.5 back. If Council would just solidify a lineup and go with it and use the other guys when he needs to bring him in the pinch hit or if somebody gets hurt to work him in, yes, they can do it. But you got to have that continuity and that chemistry, and that starts with putting your solid eight out there, and he does have a solid eight to pick from with all the guys that he's got on that team. It's just a matter of just going with it and saying, you know what, our last 23 games, this is the route we're going to go. We're gonna win or lose with this particular mentality. I've tried everything else.
Yep, appreciate it, man. Thanks. I think there's a more understanding mentality when it comes to Craig Counsell because he's a local guy, and everybody knows this is Craig's second year in managing, and like this team, he's growing. He's learning on the fly, much like a lot of these younger guys that are coming up are learning on the fly. And you know, Craig's been around a while. He's a smart guy. I mean, I don't discount Craig, and I still, for as much as you want to criticize Craig at times, I'm also the guy that says, wait a minute, I'll look at glasses half full and say, this is also the guy that got you here. This is the guy that brought you to the dance to begin with. Okay? Nobody was criticizing Craig Counsell when this team was sitting five games up in the standings going into the All-Star break. Everybody, you know, everything's coming up roses. So he didn't all of a sudden overnight become this guy that just didn't know what he was doing. I just think sometimes managers get criticized in the sense that they'll push a button, and if that button doesn't work out, then they get criticized for it. If that button works out, then usually it's the player that came up big. You know, managers are there to take the brunt of the anger and the argument. You know, very rarely does a manager get all the credit for what they do. Joe Maddon's kind of an anomaly. You know, Tony La Russa was a very good manager, kind of an anomaly. I can think of managers over the years that I say, okay, Joe Torre, who was not good in St. Louis, but pushed all the right buttons once he got a lot of high-dollar talent behind him in New York, did a fantastic job.
How the f*** does that benefit the Reds?
What about him?
Well, Brian Price is an idiot.
Oh.
Although he just managed the Reds to a sweep over the Brewers.
Yes,
you know,
he did.
I mean, come on. You know, you can say, okay, he pushed all the right buttons. You know, who knows? But I think there's a handful of managers that I've seen over the years that are really, really, really good. I think Torrey learned and he became really good. I think that I watched Sparky Anderson for years, who won championships in both the American League and the National League. Tommy Lasorda was really, really good at managing his guys. Whitey Herzog, I thought was managing very, very well. For as much as you hate La Russa, La Russa had a way about him of taking the brunt of the argument and keeping it off of his guys and protecting his players, and they liked him for that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Brian Price, he just chimed in.
Wanted to thank you.
More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
Welcome back to the program. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. How are we looking today? How are we looking? Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. Bill Michaels Show rolls on. Hey, I want to let you know that we have, as if we are not on the air enough, we have coming up Monday, Monday, we start a new show. It is going to be the Bill Michaels Show. It's a green and gold show. We are going to be live at the Horse and Plow in Kohler, Wisconsin, every Monday night through football season. So if you are in that area, Our first one's coming up this Monday. If you're in the area, please stop by and say hello. We're back in Sheboygan. We want to welcome in our newest affiliate, Wisconsin Rapids, as well. We're on there. We just continue to grow. So kind of a neat thing that's going on regarding the program, additional programming. But looking forward to seeing everybody at the Horse and Plow. If you're back in the Sheboygan area, it's been a while since we've been back there. And, you know, can't wait. Looking forward to it. We're going to be back at the Hall of Fame Chop House, the old Brett Favre Steakhouse in Green Bay this Sunday after the Packers and the Seahawks. And just looking forward to it. Back to football. Real quick, well, yeah, we don't have time here at the top of the hour. We don't have time. Well, let's do this. We'll take a top of the hour break, and then we'll come back. We got so much going on today. Warren Moon is going to be joining us today, coming up here on the program in just a little while as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Always good, because we've had a chance to chat with him a couple of times, and Warren Moon is fantastic. So we're going to chat with him. We're going to talk more about this Packers-Seahawks matchup. And there's one thing that is not going to happen this week. There's one thing that's not going to happen this weekend. I'm just telling you. If it does, I would be almost shocked. I'll tell you what that is coming up after the top of the hour. Hang in there. We got a lot more of Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network, presented by Marshfield Clinic Health System.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.